Good morning. Today is the end of the first quarter, a time when high school students mostly are going to be graded on their academic work so far. On a more happy note, it's also a time when the varsity teams in the fall season are competing in the postseason tournament. So we have our girls varsity going to regionals in volleyball, and the two cross-country teams will compete in the sectionals tomorrow. That can be an exciting thing, an exciting time for players, coaches, fans. But also, it gives us reason to ask a question. The question is this: who gets the glory in the next game, or meet, or report card? Is it the star athlete, or the team, the straight-A student, or the school? Is it the Lord for whom this school is named? Consider today what God says about this through the Apostle Paul, who wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Let's begin right where the apostle begins. Are we in the habit, think about this, are we in the habit of eating our food to the glory of God? Consider what that involves. It would mean, for one thing, that we don't let selfishness take over, which could happen if we were to hoard a certain item of food for ourselves and deprive others of having that. Likewise, it would mean that we do not allow our eating to become a nuisance or a burden to someone else who has to clean up the mess we made. Eating food to the glory of God will especially mean that we have a thankful heart. As part of the meal, we stop and express thanks in prayer to the God who gave us this blessing of our food today. Turning from the cafeteria to the classroom, can you study and learn to the glory of God? Certainly you can do that with God's help. Certainly you should. By recognizing, first of all, that your education here is also a gift from Him and a stewardship for you, an opportunity not to be wasted. So with that in mind, you are to apply yourself in listening to the classroom instruction, in carrying out the assigned homework. And of course, let's do that with prayer to our God for help and blessing. And if good grades come your way, pass the credit on to Him. He is, after all, the one who gave you all your abilities and every opportunity, everything that has brought you to this successful point in your education. Can you play a sport to the glory of God? Absolutely. In fact, what a good opportunity you have to represent the Savior to many people who do not know you personally and may not know Him. It makes Jesus look good if they see you in the course of competitive play showing a genuine concern for the well-being of your opponent who is injured. Or they see you demonstrating fair play, sportsmanship, courtesy to the officials, even if the call goes against you. Do all to the glory of God, the Bible says. Let's take that principle beyond what we do at Emmanuel. Let's look ahead to a day when you have a full-time job exchanging work of some kind for a paycheck that you need. You can do that job to the glory of God by living up to your employer's expectations and then some. Again, with your Lord in mind and His will understood in your heart, you would show up to work on time, carry out assigned duties faithfully, give your employer an honest day's work every shift, and while at the job, refrain from stealing, even that what's called pilfering, those so-called minor incidents of theft that other people are known to do. And in that workplace, surrounded by other employees, you remember that you are in the world, but not of the world. You realize that the reputation of Jesus is on the line. And that makes you careful about how you act, what you say, what kind of language comes out of your mouth. In every situation, and we could sure go on with this, in every opportunity, wherever you are, let's strive to ask this one question. Are my actions now taking place going to make Jesus look good to others? Or will they cause Him to decrease in their eyes? Surely we have failed countless times by our pride, our bragging, our selfishness. We have robbed God of the glory and claimed it for ourselves. We have a multitude of sins to confess. And God, as part of His glory, has a ton of grace to wash those sins away, to remove all of them from His sight. And it pleases Him that in the process, He gives us this chance to start over with Him. When He wipes the slate clean, you have a fresh opportunity today, tomorrow, to show what your Lord means to you based on what He has done for you. So, whether you are on the court or in the race, at the dinner table or at desk, at work or in church, it's not about you or me. It's always about Him. He gets the glory. He gets the honor and the praise, the prayers and the worship. He gets to be the center of attention because He deserves it. He deserves all of it when you think of this from a gospel point of view, namely that He, in His dealings with us, in His attitude and actions toward us, has been nothing but loving, giving, self-sacrificing through Jesus, and faithful to what He tells us in His Word. One day in the perfect life to come, no one will have to tell us, "Do all to the glory of God." Until then, we need the reminder and much help from above. And so we pray. Heavenly Father, empower us to fight the selfish nature of our flesh and focus on the sacrifice of Your Son in our place. Cause our salvation in Christ to be the motivation of our faith, the compelling reason why we seek Your glory in all that we say and do and pursue in this life. To You be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We close our worship to the glory of God, singing hymn 31, the first three stanzas. The first three stanzas of hymn 31.
there's an announcement or two.